preaching tonight
about the Lord Jesus Christ as the King of Israel and as the head of the church, which is his body. I never tire of stating the great fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned by noun and pronoun 6,988 times, from the first of Matthew to the last of Revelation. And the greatest story of the ages is told in Philippians 2:5-9, that he was in the form of God. He thought it not a thing to be grasped after, to be on the equality with God. He made himself of no reputation. And being made in the likeness of sinful flesh, or in the form of a man, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now the book of Psalms said that he would put him at his own right hand, and that he would put all his enemies under his feet. And in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we're told that when Jesus Christ, as King, shall have put down all authority on this earth and all opposition, that he will deliver the kingdom up to his Father, that God may be all and in all. And we're told in 1 Timothy at that time, notice, in 1 Timothy 6:13, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who maketh alive all things, and before Christ Jesus, who in the presence of Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Here we have several of the 250 titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. Someone has truly said that all of the events of time and eternity are centered in two great events, and those two events are the two advents of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he was once offered to bear the sins of many, so unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time apart from sin unto salvation. Now there are at least 50 or 60 different things that the Lord is going to do when he comes back. I'd like to read to you from the 4th chapter of Micah. Beautiful thoughts here in the 4th chapter of Micah, showing you that Jerusalem is yet to be the capital of the world. In the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountain, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. Many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Last week I read in the Tribune a statement that 31 million laws have been enacted. And he said if you take all of the 31 million laws, you will not find any improvement over the law that God gave to Israel about 3,400 years ago. But here is something wonderful when the law goes out from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. The mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. Now when the Lord calls himself the Lord of hosts, he speaks of himself as a warrior. That's what the Lord is spoken of in the 9th chapter of Isaiah, where we're told he'll be wonderful and counselor and mighty God. And he'll sit on the throne of David and the government will be upon his shoulder. I want you to notice here that the Jews are going to sit under their vine and fig tree and no one will make them afraid. I'm sure you know that many Jews have gone back to the Holy Land and people think that Scripture is being fulfilled. They're worried today because they can't raise millions and millions to buy arms to fight against the Mohammedans. And somebody is making them afraid today, and they're trembling. They don't know what's going to happen. They protested vigorously when the Suez Canal was given back to the Egyptians and Mohammedans. They're trembling. They're afraid. So they do have vines and fig trees over there, and they've made that land very fertile. But notice what God says they're going to do in the 36th chapter of Ezekiel. Wonderful statement here. In the 34th verse, the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. This land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. Now what's going on in Palestine today, as they're exporting so much that they're raising there, their land is like not like the Garden of Eden. And people are making them afraid. There's yet to be a great war. The Battle of Armageddon will be one of the battles in this great war. And the nation of the north and the revived Roman Empire will be in a battle, and Israel will be right in the center of it. And in the book of Zechariah, God says when they get in that Battle of Armageddon, I'm going forth and fight for them like I fought when I led them into the land of Canaan, where there were seven Gentile nations against them. God fought for them. God fought for them when Gideon took 300 men and fought 100,000 Midianites. And he went forward and said, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Now the Lord is going to take up the fight for Israel. He's not fighting for Israel now, and Israel is certainly not fighting for him. Israel is exactly where the Lord Jesus Christ said Israel would be. He said in Luke 21, they would be scattered among all the Gentile nations, and their city will be destroyed, and they will remain scattered all over the country, all over the world, until the times of the Gentiles become in. And we're told in Romans 11:25 that a blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. I said to a friend yesterday that the Jews today are as blind and even worse in their blindness today than they were during the book of Acts. During the book of Acts, there were a number of Jews saved, and there became a remnant according to the election of grace. As I said this morning, it takes 1,000 preachers on an average to get one Jew converted today. They're blind. And they're going to remain blind until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. And then we're told in Romans 11:26-29, four reasons why God will save Israel. First, he said, this is my covenant when I save them. What he says is touching the election, they're beloved for the Father's sake. And that's because God made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they're the fathers. Now when God made a covenant, he supported it with an oath. And he says, I swear. When Abraham offered Isaac on Mount Moriah, the Lord says, I swear that I'll give you this land. Well, if God made a promise and confirmed it by an oath that we might have two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we have the absolute guarantee. Whether we want the Jews to be saved and go back, it's not our business, but God says they're going to be. Now notice why in the 36th chapter of Ezekiel. The 21st verse, I had pity for mine own holy name's sake, which the house of Israel hath profaned among the Gentiles. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine own holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went, I will sanctify my great name which was profaned among the Gentiles, which ye, Israel, have profaned in the midst of them. And then the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. I will take you from among the Gentiles and will gather you out of all country and will bring you into your own land. Now in Micah he says, when I bring them back and establish my kingdom headquarters in Jerusalem on Mount Zion, he says every one of them will be under their own vine and fig tree. And they will not be afraid, because all of the people are going to beat their swords and spears into plowshares and pruning hooks, and they will not learn war anymore, and they'll not hurt again upon my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Now we have a wonderful story in the first chapter of John. A man by the name of Nathanael. The word Nathanael is just the same as the word Nathan. N-A-T-H-A-N means in the Hebrew a gift. And Nathanael means the gift of God. Jonathan has Jehovah first, Jehovah Nathan. God's gift. So Nathanael has Nathan first, and E-L, everywhere you find it in the Bible, means God. That's the simplest form of the name God. There are five Hebrew words translated God. Now Nathanael was the gift of God. And in the 11th chapter of Romans, we're told why the nation Israel will be brought back under their own fig tree. Because the gift of God is without repentance. And that really says that the Nathanael of God is without repentance. The gift of God is without repentance, and Nathanael is the gift of God, and Nathanael was under a fig tree. Now notice, in the first chapter here,
the closing verse.
Philip findeth Nathanael, that's John 1:45, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto Nathanael, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Now he didn't say, Rabbi, thou art the head of the church. He didn't say, you're the head of the body. He said, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, behold, I say unto thee, I saw thee under a fig tree. Believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Now notice. He said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. This takes us back to the birth of Israel. There was a man by the name of Jacob, and God let down a ladder from heaven to earth, and the angels of God ascended and descended upon that ladder, and God says, Jacob, your name will be called Israel, meaning a prince with God. Now, Jacob's ladder was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it spoke of the birth of the nation Israel. And the nation Israel is going to sit under their vine and fig tree. When? Well, Luke tells you when. Now, will you turn to Luke, the 21st chapter, and you and I can find out right here when this is going to take place. The 21st chapter of Luke. Now notice what he says here. In the 25th verse, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Now there are a great many people today to whom the Lord could truly speak as he did in John 4:48. He said to the Jews, except ye see signs, ye will not believe. All the metaphysical cults today, all of their people must see signs or they will not believe. In the last 8 years, there's been a real speed up in the sign preachers. They can't get tents large enough to hold the people if they are performing miracles. God says the Jews require a sign, not the Gentiles. The Gentiles seek after wisdom. The Jews require a sign. The Jewish nation is a miracle nation. We're told in Genesis 12 to 22 and in Hebrews 11:12, that they were born by a miracle of God. When Abram was 100 years old and barren Sarah gave birth to Isaac, it was a miracle. And from one who was as good as dead came seed equal to the stars of the heaven and the dust of the earth. When they came into national life out of Egypt, about 16 great miracles were performed by Aaron and Moses. And the nation Israel was baptized unto Moses by the cloud and the Red Sea. They accepted his leadership. So they were a miracle nation. But every time God gave them signs, it was when they were down spiritually. So when the Lord Jesus Christ came and said, they said we would seek a sign of thee, he says, an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And I want to say to you, my dear friends, considering the fact that we've had 1900 years of Christianity in the land of the Bible, this is the most evil and adulterous generation religiously that the world has ever known. The book of Revelation teaches about spiritual fornication. And we have that all about us. Now then, he says in the 21st chapter of Luke, the Jews are going to have more signs than they'll want in the rest of the world. Satan himself is coming with his man of sin, with all the working of Satan and all the mighty signs in deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. And God is going to send them a strong delusion and let them believe a lie and be damned. Look out for sign preachers. You look out for them. They'll get you in trouble, sure as you're living. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Now the Jews will never be under their own vine and fig tree until all of this is fulfilled. And not one thing here will be fulfilled until after the church is in heaven. None of this. If you believe the Bible, you're not only a premillenarian, but you're a pre-tribulation premillenarian. As we've said so many times, prophecy is all centered in three T's. The tree, the tribulation, and the throne. The prophets knew that Christ would die on the cross. The prophets knew that Christ would come and take the throne. The prophets knew that there would be a great tribulation because they foretold it many times. But no prophet ever knew that there would be such a thing as the body of Christ. We're living in a parenthetical, unprophesied period that was not made known to any man. It was hid in God and hid from ages and from generation. So here we are, right in between the tree and the tribulation. That's where we live. The tree was when Christ died on the cross. When they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and put him in the sepulchre, and God raised him from the dead. The next thing in fulfillment of Scripture will be the tribulation. And the tribulation will not be here until the church has been taken home to glory, because the church is not the subject of prophecy. I went out to a missionary meeting at Wheaton. And while I was in my son's home yesterday, a man knocked at the door and he had a briefcase filled with books. Would you like to buy one of our books on the coming kingdom? And I took one look at it, and I saw that he represented Jehovah's Witnesses. And I said, I met Pastor Russell 40 years ago. I heard him in many lectures and read every book that he wrote. After he was succeeded by Judge Rutherford, I read his book. And I became posted on all the talk. And I said to him, you teach that 144,000 Russellites are the only ones that are going to be in heaven, and 20 billion people will be here on earth, and you're going to reign over them. You're going to be the true wheat. And you say, under millennium kingdom conditions, I heard Pastor Russell say that every person can live on 1 acre of land and there'll be enough, because he's going to bring all 20 billion back on earth and give them an acre each of fertile land to live on during the millennium, while these 144,000 give them. And I said, my dear man, you have taken the place of the Jews. They call themselves the 144,000 Israelites. They're up in heaven. How can they be up in heaven if they're going to be under the vine and fig tree, because there are no vines and fig trees in heaven? And I said, you have a Christ that couldn't save anybody, and you have a gospel that couldn't save any. I said, you're Unitarian. You deny the deity and the personality of the Holy Spirit. And I said, you say that Jesus Christ was Michael the Archangel, and that he was a created being and not the eternal self-existent God. They say that he was Theon, a God, but not the God. He's called Theos, the God, 7 times in the Bible. And I said, you're Pastor Russell and Judge Ruthford, and you are now teaching that Jesus Christ did not go back to heaven. Only his spirit. That his body was dissolved in gases. And the very two things that are required for salvation, they deny, just like the modernists. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is the Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. If there isn't a man at God's right hand, Paul said, let's eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we're dead. If there isn't a man up there, he's the first fruit. And if he isn't up there as the first fruit, then we're not going to have a body like his body of glory. And we're not, we have no hope of the resurrection. Well, now listen what he says here as we close this. They shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. We called your attention to the fact that the title of Christ, the Son of Man, is used 84 times in the Bible, but never once in connection with the church. Jesus Christ is never the Son of Man in connection with the church. There's only one man that ever called him the Son of Man, and that was Stephen. He said, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. He's not standing as the head of the church. He's sitting down. He's not the Son of Man, he's the Son of God. He was ready to come back. And when he comes back, he'll be the Son of Man in the midst of 7 candlesticks in the book of Revelation. But that'll be the nation Israel, has nothing to do with us. Now notice, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable, behold a fig tree. Keep your eye on the Jew. As I said this morning, Israel is mentioned more than 3,000 times in the Bible, and the word Christian is mentioned 3 times. Anyone that's mentioned 3,000 times and wrote every word in the Bible, gave us all of our apostles. No Gentile in the Bible ever laid hands on anybody. No Gentile ever put oil on anybody. What do you think of 12 tribes of Israel calling Gentile elders to put oil on the 12 tribe when it was written by James, and in Galatians 2, James wouldn't even let Peter sit down and eat with Gentiles. You know, when it comes to Bible study, I think in the great majority of cases, sanctified common sense is an unknown quantity. God wants us to compare Scripture with Scripture and to be Berean and to know. And to know the place of Israel. And now notice what he says. Behold the fig tree in all the trees. The fig tree is the nation Israel. Where are they today? They're multiplying, they're increasing. They say we must replenish and have as many Jews as we had before Hitler destroyed us, so they're trying to build back now to 18 million that they had before they were destroyed. Doctor, our friend that was here from Zini, made this statement. He said, the Jews today speak 168 different languages. They're so literally scattered all over the earth. There they are in blindness. And God leaves them in their blindness unless they come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him. Today, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither bond nor free, male or female. We're all one in Christ. And there's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. What is God doing today? We're told in Ephesians 2:15 and 16 that he's making one new man by reconciling both Jew and Gentile in one body by the cross. He suspended all his kingdom covenants, and he's interrupted his kingdom program. It's been set aside, and as some have said, the clock of prophecy stopped at Calvary, and it'll never tick again till after the rapture. Now, we say it went forward until the time Paul was sent out. But from the time that Paul was sent out for the dispensation of the grace of God, the clock of prophecy stopped. And we're living in an unprophesied period. Some of you like that message so well that you confiscated my book, The Silence of God, I put down there the other night. If you don't bring it back, I'm going to read your name out next Sunday. I put it down there just for a little while, and somebody went back there and took it. Now, shame on you. Will you bring it back, please? I see a man down there ducking his head. I wonder if he's got it. Well, don't take mine, but get your own. The Silence of God, one of the greatest, it's a masterpiece and one of the greatest books that God ever gave Christians to read, by Sir Robert Andrews. I was in Dr. Gray's office one day, and Dr. Gray had Dr. Evans over here, Mr. Moody over here, and Evans and Moody and one other teacher he had there. Back here he had Sir Robert Andrews. He said this was a great man. This was a great man, but he says, there's the noblest Roman of them all and the best Bible teacher that we've had since the days of the apostles. Every Christian on this earth ought to get the book entitled The Gospel and Its Ministry. I want to tell you, it'll flood your soul with joy and light as no other book you've ever read. Then when you get the Silence of God, you'll find what God says and what he says about it. When the Lord set the nation Israel aside in blindness, there they are until this day. And as I say, the Jews in Chicago are as blind as the Jews back in the days of the book of Acts. They're blind. They meet in their synagogues, they're blind, and that blindness is there. Now, as long as their blindness lasts, this will not be fulfilled. The Lord Jesus sat down, not on his throne of glory, where he'll be king of Israel, but he sat down on his Father's throne, and we're told that he's far above all principalities and powers, and God made him head over all things to the church, which is his body, the filling up of him that filleth all in all. And then in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, for the 8th to the 12th verses, it says that God hath raised him far above all heaven. How many heavens do you think there are above us? Well, above us, there's the fortress and citadel of Satan. He is the prince of the power of the air. He's at the head of spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies, we're told in the book of Ephesians. Right above us, the power of Satan is there. And when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he went right through where Satan is, and then above all heavens, and he sat down at the right hand of God. What for? God made him head over all things to the church, which is his body. And that word body is soma, S-O-M-A, just like your human anatomy. Now, what is God doing? He's visiting all over the world, and he's getting a sinner saved by grace here and one here. I told you about a young man. I think he's as fine a Christian as I ever met in my life. Wonderful Christian. He had a brother and two sisters and a mother and a father. He lived a consecrated life. He testified. Finally, his father died without Christ. His brother died without Christ. His two sisters died without Christ. His mother died without Christ. 5 out of 6, and he's the only one in the family. It's a strange thing, isn't it? The only one in the family. Sometimes you get 4 or 5 in the family, but here and there, somebody receives with meekness the implanted word, and God saves their soul, and he makes them a member of the body of Christ, joins them to Christ in an inseparable and eternal union. They're baptized into Christ, and buried with Christ, and raised with Christ, and risen with Christ, and they're raised up and they're made to sit together in the heavenlies in Christ. Someday, some hour, some moment, the very last member of that body will be brought in. Wouldn't you like to have the privilege of bringing in the last one? Be wonderful, wouldn't it? That's what God's going to do. And when he gets the last member of the body, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the body will be taken, the Holy Spirit will be taken. How would you like to live on the south side of Chicago or down around the city hall or in the city hall with no Holy Spirit here? And the devil having full sway. How would you like that for a few years? That's what the people on this earth are going to have after the church goes to glory. That's the reason God says there'll be a time of trouble such as was never known.
And unless those days were shortened, all flesh will be destroyed, but for mine elect's sake, the treasure that's hid in the field, Israel. For mine elect's sake and for mine own holy name's sake, and because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but Jacob shall be saved out of it, and God will save Jacob, and through Jacob, the Gentiles will be brought, because Satan will be put in the bottomless pit, and the Lord Jesus Christ will be on the throne of David while the church is in glory. And then God will bring in the kingdom. And then the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, but not while we're here. As I said, the missionary told me they'd been over in Ethiopia. They told us yesterday at Wheaton when we were there that every time a Mohammedan is converted to Christianity, at least 40 heathen are converted to Mohammedanism. And as the ruler of China said, if we would take our population now, I believe we would have 600 million. That makes about 1,250,000,000 heathen on this earth today. We're not gaining on them very rapidly. But the church will be completed because God works all things after the counsel of His own will. And when we get there, we'll find out that we were chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. And this grace was given us in Christ. And we'll be together with Him glorified forever and ever and in the ages to come. He'll show forth the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through the Lord Jesus Christ.